All right, it's a few minutes after 1 p.m. Central Time, so we are going to go ahead and get started. Thank you for joining us today on this webinar. My name is Mindy Gayer, and I am the Southeast Region Business Development Manager for the Intrust Group and the host for the webinar today, where I will be answering some exclusive questions and answers for y'all. And we will also have, and also you will have the opportunity to ask any relevant questions by typing those in the Q&A box as I'm going through the presentation. So please feel free to go ahead and type those in as we go through this presentation. We do hope that you find the information presented today on this webinar valuable and informative, and that it better helps you to expand your knowledge beyond the classic traditional market investing, and that you will be able to better identify great self-directed IRA investment opportunities whenever those may present themselves in the future. Everyone is going to be on mute, but if you have questions as we go throughout the presentation, again, please feel free to go ahead and start typing those in the Q&A box, and I will answer those at the end. We'll also be providing an audio recording of the webinar to everyone in the event that you need to leave the webinar early, or if you would like to share it with somebody, or if you just really love the content and want to hear it again, that will be available shortly after the webinar. All right, before we get started, I do have a quick disclaimer. Intrust Group does not provide investment advice, tax advice, or legal advice. So that means we are not CPAs, we are not attorneys, and we are not financial advisors. We do not recommend or endorse any investments, products, or services, but we do recommend that you do seek investment advice, tax advice, and legal advice before entering into any investments. And all of the information in this presentation is for investment purposes only. Our agenda for the day, I will be introducing Intrust and myself, and then I will be answering the pre-submitted self-directed IRA questions. And then we'll open it up for the live Q&A, and then I'll share with y'all what's next with Intrust. All right, a little background on myself. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Mindy Gayer, and I am the Southeast Region Business Development Manager for the Intrust Group. I've been with the company for almost 6 years now. Prior to joining Intrust, I worked in the retirement industry for several years. My main focus is working primarily with individual alternative asset investors, investment sponsors, and financial advisors, CPAs, attorneys. So basically anyone who is investing in alternative assets inside their retirement accounts. And I do work out of our Nashville, Tennessee office. I want to share a little bit about Intrust for anyone who may not already be familiar with us. We are a self-directed IRA record keeper and custodian, so we specialize in holding alternative assets inside of our clients' retirement accounts. We currently hold about $4 billion in assets under administration, and we have empowered over 45,000 investors. We have been in business for over 40 years, and one factor that distinguishes us from other companies in our industry is we do offer a single point of contact business model. So when you are working with us, when you open an account, you are assigned an account manager and their assistant, and that will be your point of contact throughout your duration of having an account with Intrust. Most of our staff at Intrust hold the CISP designation, which is a Certified IRA Services Professional designation. We offer national continuing education classes for realtors and CPAs, and we hold national and local events and webinars, similar to what we're doing today. All right, quick overview of what is a self-directed IRA. And a self-directed IRA gives the individual investor the ability to be in charge of making all of their investment decisions. So you are your own fiduciary when you are using a self-directed IRA. Self-directed IRAs are regulated by the Internal Revenue Code. And in order to invest in alternative assets, you have to have your money with a company that is willing to hold the alternative assets. So that's exactly what our company specializes in, is holding the alternative assets. We do not hold stocks, bonds, mutual funds. such as the traditional market. We offer the self-directed IRA, which gives you the opportunity for further asset diversification inside of your self-directed IRA. And it is the account holder's responsibility to do due diligence on any investments that you are investing in. So the record keeper does not do due diligence on any investments that you are investing in. It is the account holder's responsibility to do that. It's not the IRA that dictates what you can and cannot invest in. It's the custodian that holds your money that dictates what you can and cannot invest in. So I just wanted to point that out as well, because there is occasionally misconceptions about self-directed IRAs and what you can and can't invest in. So again, it's the custodian that you have your money with that dictates what you can and can't invest in, not the type of IRA. All right, before we begin, there's a quick poll. How familiar are you with a self-directed IRA? So go ahead and answer that if you would, please. All right, we are going to go ahead and dive into some of the pre-submitted questions on self-directed IRAs. The first question is, what is the minimum amount to start an account? That's a good question, and I do get this question every now and then. We do not have a minimum amount to start an account. That is completely up to you. A lot of our clients are transferring or rolling over money from existing IRAs or qualified plans to fund the IRA. It is not necessary to do that. You can start a new self-directed IRA, but obviously when doing that, there are contribution limits for contributing to an IRA, which for the year 2023, it's $6,500. If you are over 50, then it's $7,500. If you are eligible to contribute to an IRA, you do want to consult with your tax advisor to confirm that you are eligible to contribute and what amount you can contribute. We do not determine that. That liability is on you and your tax advisor to know those amounts. But there is no minimum to start an account. There is no max as well. Again, most individuals are transferring or rolling over money from existing IRAs or existing qualified plans. All right, the next question. Am I able to invest in land or real estate that my child can live in during college? All right, surprisingly, we get this question a lot. And the simple answer to that question is no. This would not be allowed as it is considered a prohibited transaction. Your IRA is not allowed to do business with any disqualified person. So a disqualified person is going to be yourself, your spouse, your lineal ascendants, descendants, and their spouses. So parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, so on up the tree, their spouses. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so on down the tree, their spouses. Financial advisors, managers, beneficiaries, or any entity where you or a disqualified person have at least 50% or more ownership. So that means your IRA is not allowed to buy, sell, transfer ownership, or provide goods or services between the IRA and any disqualified person. So your child is a disqualified person, therefore your child cannot live in the property or rent the property that's being held by your IRA. All investments inside your IRA must be for investment purposes only. So just keep that in mind. Now, there is a caveat to that. And the caveat is your IRA can do business with a disqualified person if it's at the initiation of the purchase. And what I mean by that is, let's say that you buy a piece of real estate and it's $100,000 and you have $60,000 in your IRA and you personally are going to fund the remaining balance. You can do that. You establish the percentage of ownership at the initiation of the purchase. You split that percentage of ownership. All expenses are paid at that percentage of ownership. All income that that property generates goes back at that percentage of ownership. So via a partnership is the only way that you are, that your IRA is ever allowed to do business with a disqualified person. So that also answers the second part of this question. Can I partner with my spouse's IRA to start an LLC for our real estate investments? So again, your spouse's IRA is technically considered to be a disqualified entity. So you technically cannot do business with your spouse's IRA, but if it's at the initiation of a purchase, that is going to be an allowable investment. All right, next question. How can I get excellent investment coaching? So as I mentioned earlier, we are only self-directed IRA record keepers and custodians. We do not provide any sort of investment advice, tax advice, or legal advice. We do recommend that you do seek tax advice, legal advice, and investment advice before entering into any investment. So I highly recommend seeking out those professionals before making any investment because, again, you are the fiduciary of your account. All right, next question. Can you buy land with a self-directed traditional IRA and build an investment residence on the land using a self-directed Roth IRA? If so, what are the caveats of doing so? And is it a bad idea? All right. So to answer this question, simply no. Again, because your IRA cannot do business with a disqualified person or a disqualified entity. Your Roth IRA is disqualified entity to your traditional IRA. Now, the caveat to that is you can partner your traditional IRA and your Roth IRA together to buy the land. That is going to be an allowable option. You have to establish the percentage of ownership between the traditional IRA and the Roth IRA when you buy the land. So let's say, for example, you establish the percentage of ownership of the land at 50% traditional, 50% Roth. Then when you go to build a residence on the land, it's split 50-50. So all expenses for the build are being split 50% traditional, 50% Roth IRA. Now, the question is that a bad idea? Again, we don't provide investment advice. That is up to you to determine if it's going to be a good investment. I will say that when you partner with disqualified persons, it does become a little tricky, and you definitely want to make sure you understand fully what you're doing so that you do not enter into a prohibited transaction. All right, next question. Can you please discuss real estate lending, mortgage notes, common pitfalls to avoid? All right, mortgage notes / lending, that is an allowable investment. So your IRA can engage in real estate lending, mortgage notes. Again, you are your own fiduciary. So make sure that you know who you are doing business with when you are entering into those types of investments. Another thing to keep in mind is that we do not service the loan. So we don't track the payments. That liability is on you or the loan servicer that you select for that mortgage note or that mortgage that you're doing. So again, you are your own fiduciary. So that liability is on you to make sure that you understand fully who you are doing business with and what you need to be tracking in order to ensure that your investment, that the notes are being paid back. Next question. Can you please provide an overview of the steps required to purchase real estate with my self-directed IRA? The first step is going to be opening up an in-trust account. And then you are going to fund that in-trust account via either a transfer, so moving money from another IRA that you have, or via a rollover, so money in any sort of qualified plan, or a contribution, so you're making a contribution to the account, or a combination of all three of those. So that's your three options for funding your in-trust account. And then when you go to put the offer in, the offer does not go in your name. The offer of the real estate is going to be in the name of the IRA. So for example, if you have your account with Intrust, the name that's going to go on the title, the deed, the contract is going to be the Intrust Group Inc., FBO, and that's for the benefit of your name, your account number. Earnest deposit money is going to come from the IRA. You do not personally pay the earnest deposit money. That is a prohibited transaction. The earnest deposit money must come from the IRA if the IRA is buying the piece of real estate in full. You will complete a real estate purchase packet that is a packet that we provide you. And then InTrust will actually sign all of the documents on behalf of the IRA. So we are signing all of the documents to purchase that real estate for you. And then all expenses associated with that real estate are going to be paid from the IRA. So you will send us the invoices, we will pay the expenses. And then all income that that property generates will go right back into the self-directed IRA. Next question, what constitutes self-employed? I am retired. What do I need to do to set up a self-directed IRA? All right, what constitutes self-employed? The question to that is, it's generally you are self-employed if you carry out a trade or business as a sole proprietor or an independent contractor. So that means that you are earning income outside of passive income. That typically is what self-employed means. Highly recommend speaking to your tax advisor to confirm that the way you are filing taxes is truly self-employed. We don't confirm that. That would be between you and your tax advisor. And then in order to set up a self-directed IRA, you would just simply go to our website, and it takes about 15 minutes to open up the account right online. And then to fund it, you can either fund it with a transfer of another IRA from another institution, a rollover from a qualified plan where you're no longer employed, or a contribution, or a combination of those three. Next question is, when setting up an LLC, what steps do I need to take to make sure I'm properly incorporated? Can I alter LLC terms after establishment? All right, so the question in regards to what steps do I need to take to make sure I'm properly incorporated? I mentioned this earlier, we do not provide legal advice. So in regards to making sure that the LLC is set up properly and is properly incorporated, that would need to be directed to your legal counsel or an attorney that you have hired. Now, what we look for from the LLC standpoint is that the member of your LLC is not you personally, but it's your IRA. So just to back up for a second, when you are creating an LLC IRA, some call them checkbook IRAs, some call them LLC IRAs, you cannot use an LLC that you personally already have. And the reason for that is the IRS does not allow you to transfer ownership between you personally and your IRA. So if you use an LLC that you already have established, and then you change the member from you personally to your IRA, that's a transfer of ownership between a disqualified person or a disqualified entity. Therefore, that is a prohibited transaction. So if you are going to go the LLC route, you must create a new LLC. Your IRA is the member of that LLC. So the member name would read, for example, if your account is with InTrust, the InTrust Group Inc. FBO, and that's for the benefit of your name, your account number. That is the member of that LLC. You would then need to apply for an EIN number, open up a bank account in the name of that LLC, and then you would supply us with a copy of your LLC operating agreement. Now, the second question is, can I alter LLC terms after establishment? So there's that answer, that question has two answers. Yes, you can alter LLC terms after establishment, but you'll want to make sure that you are providing your record keeper and custodian with the updated terms, but you are not allowed to alter the members and managers to a disqualified person after the LLC has already been created, because that goes back to you cannot do business with a disqualified person or a disqualified entity after the initiation of the purchase. So after the LLC has already been created, you cannot change members or managers to disqualified persons or adjust percentages of ownership after the initiation of the creation of the LLC. All other terms are fine, but as long as, but you are not allowed to change them if it requires you doing business with a disqualified person or a disqualified entity. All right, next question. Can you discuss purchasing Bitcoin with my self-directed IRA? All right, Bitcoin, it's an allowable investment. The issue is finding a platform provider that will allow you to open an account with them in the name of the IRA and not you personally. So with, as with any investment inside of your IRA, the investment must be titled in the name of the IRA. So the Entrust Group Inc., FBO, your name, your account number. So if you can find a platform provider that will allow you to open the accounts in the name of your IRA, that's great. You can do that. You will also have to make sure that they provide the wallet, the third party holding for the wallet, because we as a record keeper cannot hold that. So you would want to make sure that that is provided to you as well through that platform provider. Okay, next question. Does Entrust have a platform that I can easily select an asset to invest? The answer to that is yes. We do have a marketplace, and currently I believe there's about 77 companies on that marketplace. Those are companies that we have investors currently investing in. Now, with that being said, you as the account holder are still responsible for doing your own due diligence on those investment providers. We have not done any due diligence on those investment providers. Again, we're not fiduciary over your investments. You are your own fiduciary. So while we do have this marketplace platform where you can go and see the companies that we've worked with in the past and the investments that they have available, it's still up to you to make sure you are doing your own due diligence on the investments that you are investing in. All right. And then the last question, self-directed IRA exit strategies. What are your options for exit strategies with illiquid investments? The first option is going to be to sell the asset. Another option is a full in-kind distribution. So rather than taking cash as a distribution, you can actually take the value of the asset and take the asset as the distribution. And you can do that as a partial in-kind distribution as well. So let's say that the tax burden is pretty significant. Let's say that you have a piece of property and it's $500,000. Well, taking a full in-kind distribution and paying taxes on $500,000 in 1 year is a big tax hit. So you want to spread that liability out over several years. So you can do that in partial in-kind distributions to spread out that tax burden over several years. Now, when you do that, when you do a partial in-kind distribution, the asset does have to be retitled or re-registered to show the new percentage of ownership. So just keep that in mind that there could be a cost associated with partial in-kind distributions in getting assets retitled and re-registered. And then the last option is going to be to pass it along to your beneficiaries. So that's the four options for exit strategies for self-directed IRAs. All right. And it looks like that concludes all of the pre-submitted questions that we have. We're going to go ahead and open it up to our live Q&A and see if there's any additional questions that came through for that. So let me go to the chat box.
Right now, Mindy, we don't have anything, but I figure I'd pose maybe a question or two that I know I've heard many times. So when it comes to things like real estate and you have required minimum distributions as you hit, you know, age 72 with traditional, you have these required distributions and you have something like real estate that's less liquid. Is there any thought around kind of how to handle that, or maybe who to go to if you're stuck in that situation and all of a sudden you need to distribute, but you just have all your IRA stuck in a real estate investment?
Yeah. So when you have illiquid assets, and this is something that is very important to also think about on the front end before making an illiquid investment purchase, just evaluating what your options are. Again, you know, if it's illiquid and you're needing to take an RMD, You can always take RMDs from other liquid accounts. So let's say that you have an IRA at TD Ameritrade. You can take your RMD out of that account until you've depleted that account. But let's say that you have no other accounts to take an RMD from. You can take an in-kind distribution to fulfill your RMD. And when you do that, again, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to also involve a retitling or re-registering the asset so that it reads the correct percentage of ownership. But that is an option for fulfilling an RMD on an illiquid asset, is doing a partial in-kind distribution to fulfill that RMD.
Great. Thank you, Mindy. And I can direct you to the question box. Diana submitted one. If you'd like to cover that, let me know if you can see it.
Thank you, Andrew. Yes. Can real estate be purchased outside of the USA with the self-directed IRA? The answer to that is yes, it absolutely can. And we have plenty of clients that are doing it all the time. Now, when you are considering buying real estate in another country, it's very important to understand what that country's requirements are. So certain countries, for example, you have to create an entity in order to buy the piece of real estate in another country. In Belize, they don't allow an IRA to buy the property directly using the IRA. It has to be done through an IBC, an International Business Corporation. Your IRA becomes a member of the International Business Corporation, and then the International Business Corporation buys the real estate. So it is allowed, but you will need to check with that country's requirements to find out how you can purchase it and if you can do it directly using the IRA or if it needs to be done through some sort of entity.
Thank you, Mindy.
Yep, you're welcome. Let's see. It doesn't look like there's any other questions. I'll go ahead and give one more minute for any last minute questions that may arise.
In the meantime, I figured one more that I know we always get, Mindy, is when you do hold, assets, for example, in a Roth IRA, when, I already paid my taxes and now the earnings are tax-free as it's espoused, but now you're earning on, let's say, a rental property and you have UDFI. Could you please cover that just in very general terms, just to make sure everyone knows that that exists and there's an aspect there that you might have to pay, even though you have a Roth earning investment?
Yes. So very important to understand UDFI, which is unrelated debt finance income, and UBIT tax, unrelated business income tax. So while generally speaking, your investments inside of your Roth IRA are tax-free, there might be, if your Roth IRA may be exposed to UDFI or UBIT tax. And UDFI tax occurs when your Roth IRA is leveraging. So let's say, for example, that there's a piece of property that's $100,000 and your IRA only has $80,000 to buy the property. So your IRA needs to borrow $20,000. Your IRA can leverage, it can borrow the $20,000, but since your IRA did not buy that property in full, with IRA money, you now could be responsible for UDFI tax. We highly recommend speaking to your CPA or tax advisor to determine what that's going to look like and what UDFI tax you could be responsible for inside of the Roth. Also with UBIT tax. So if your IRA is investing in a trade or a business, while generally speaking, Roth IRAs are tax-free, if your IRA invested in a trade or a business, it could be exposed to UBIT tax. Again, it's going to depend on the investment and how it's structured. So that's a question for the investment sponsor that you're investing with or with your CPA to determine if your Roth IRA is going to have to pay UBIT tax.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. It looks like we have one other question that came through. If you purchase real estate with a Roth IRA, then when you sell the real estate, all profits is not taxed and goes back into the Roth IRA for reinvesting. So again, kind of that is the question that I just answered. As long as your IRA bought the property in full, generally speaking, yes, it should all go back into the Roth IRA for reinvesting. if there was leveraging, then you could have UDFI tax to pay. Again, that's a question for your tax advisor, since we're not tax professionals.
Thank you, Mindy.
You're welcome. All right. It doesn't look like there's any other questions that are coming through. So I'm just going to go ahead and quickly share what's next. We do have another webinar coming up on June 14th. And the webinar topic is investing in self-storage, what you need to know about investing in self-storage. So if you're interested in joining that webinar, you can register on our website. Also, if you have feedback or any topic requests for future webinars, please let us know. There will be a quick couple question survey at the end. So if you do have any recommendations or feedback, please do complete that survey. If you would like more information on self-directed IRAs, we have an amazing learning center on our website that has a lot of really great information. And you can also follow us on all social media platforms for any updates. You can also reach out to me directly via email or phone if you have any questions that may arise. And it looks like that concludes our, actually, we have one more question that just came through. I'm going to go ahead and read this one. Can someone have more than one IRA at the same time? Example, a Roth IRA plus a self-directed IRA. So the answer to that is yes, you can have as many IRAs as you want. The question is then, can you contribute to all of those IRAs? So there are contribution limits, and you would want to talk to your tax professional to determine the max that you can contribute to IRAs in 1 year. So let's say that you have six IRAs, and the max that you, and let's just say, for example, the max that you can contribute to an IRA because you're under 50 is $6,000. You cannot contribute $6,000 to each of those IRAs. You could, if you wanted to, though, contribute $1,000 to each of those six IRAs, and that would be fine. But IRAs, they take a look at the aggregate of it, and then you have a contribution limit based on an aggregate of those IRAs. So you can have as many IRAs as you want, but you likely will only have a certain amount that you can contribute in total to all of those IRAs. All right, looks like that is it for the questions. I want to thank everyone for joining us on this webinar today. Again, if you have any questions, there's my contact information. You can reach out to me directly, or you can visit our website for a plethora of information in our learning center. Thank you very much, and everyone have a great day.
Thank you, Mindy. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks. Bye-bye.